Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Always glad when you drop in because it's Monday, which means it's time for a fun trip report. And we're heading out to Seattle with listener Kelly today, talking about a delayed honeymoon where they took a long trip to Walt Disney World, stayed at Caribbean Beach, Animal Kingdom Lodge, and also the Swan. We talk about the pros and cons of each of the resorts. We get into some mini golf. They did all the courses at Walt Disney World. We talk about character dining, dessert parties for the fireworks, an unexpected surprise in Galaxy's Edge, and much more. So you're in for a treat on today's show. Don't forget today's episode is always brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. Check out all the great free services they offer you. And remember, they're a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon, anytime you do that online shopping. And finally, a huge shout out to all the patrons of the Be Our Guest podcast. You make all this podcasting possible, and I thank you so very much for that. If you would like to get some extra content in your week and become a patron of the show, we'd sure appreciate that. Just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1767 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend and appreciate you coming by to get the week started with some fun Disney magic. As we do every Monday, we've been doing this forever. It's time for a trip report. So close your eyes. Well, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. If you're at your computer, I ain't closing for about 5 seconds, but we're going to take a virtual trip down to Walt Disney World, and this is going to be a long one. The show's not going to be long, but man, this was a long trip. This almost was as long as Scott Gardner's, my buddy, hashtag Scotty G. I thought he moved to Florida. I thought he just left Michigan, never going back. We almost have, it's been a trend over the last few weeks, these long trips. I need to get in on this, some of this action here soon. So joining us from out on the West Coast, Seattle, Washington, we have Kelly. Kelly, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. So glad to have you on the show, and it's going to be a fun one today. You took a definite trip on what we're going to talk about today. This is a long one.
Yes, and it was more than just Disney, so there was a lot happening.
Okay, so let's hop in here and jump right into it. Before we do that, just real quick, what's your background with Disney? Why are you listening to a Disney podcast? Why are you on here sharing your story? What's your backstory with Disney?
Well, I'd never been to Disney World as a child. That was not something we did growing up. My parents were very like, that's too expensive. We can't do that. It's too far away. But we did go to Disneyland a couple times, like once as a child and then several times as an adult. And then I was always a fan of all the films, everything like that, all that good stuff. And then my husband and I went to Disneyland like 2 years before we went on this trip. And I thought I was never going to be able to get him to go to Florida. But I got him after that Disney trip. So
we must have the same parents, because my parents always thought it was too expensive too, but we didn't get to go to Disneyland. We went to Six Flags, which was down the street. So yeah, you win. Okay. So you got there and it was kind of like something you always want to do. And it is expensive. We get that. But I mean, you know, we have a good time. We enjoy it. Now, you mentioned, because you gave me some notes to go from today, which I sure appreciate. This was a delayed honeymoon trip, and you guys didn't just go straight from Seattle to Orlando. You guys kind of hit some places along the way, which I think is probably a good idea when you're crossing the country. So how'd that go?
Well, so we were like, well, we're going to go to Disney World. And so I was like, yes, when? We're going to go do that. And then we were like, well, we have a couple extra days. Where else can we go? We're like, well, we've never been to New Orleans. Why don't we just do that? And then we were like, well, we have 2 other days. Where can we go? So we said, well, let's go to Austin, because there's a really good disc golf course there. My husband and I are super into disc golf. So we're like, well, we'll go there and do that. And then kind of just hop our way. So it worked out really well.
Disc golf, man. I used to play disc golf all the time when I was in right out of college. Because the thing is, it's the perfect sport for somebody right out of college when you're not making any money, because I could play it every day for free. Oh man, I would play that till my arm hurt. Oh my God, it was good. I haven't played that in years. You just brought back a good memory. I need to get back into that.
Yeah, good course in Austin if you're ever there. And then right. Also just lots of tacos that we ate while we were there.
Now you've got me totally sold. I've got tacos and disc golf. I'm in. All right, so let's talk about Walt Disney World and not disc golf, even though I could. You guys went down there and stayed for quite a while. You stayed at three different hotels. So let's kind of have a hotel section of the show here to start us off. Caribbean Beach, Animal Kingdom Lodge, and you stayed at the Swan. And it says that you guys are in the hotel industry, so you have kind of an, you know, an insider take or an interesting take. So tell us about the experience at each.
So definitely Animal Kingdom Lodge is worth the money, as okay. people will say. But yeah, we started at Caribbean Beach, and so we had never been at all. So that was like a completely different experience. And at first I was like, let's not stay on property. Like I can get my employee discount other places, but definitely even as somebody who can get a super cheap rate elsewhere, like this was totally worth it. Like we pulled in and everybody was so welcoming, and Caribbean Beach, like the Skyliner right there, that was incredible. Like that was one of the first things we did and it was amazing. And we stayed, I believe it was in the Jamaica section, but it was pretty close to the Skyliner station. So that was really, really nice. And we really enjoyed that resort. And then we went to Animal Kingdom Lodge, which was just incredible. And I just booked a standard king, but we got in the room and I was like, David, there's giraffes out the window. There's a balcony. So I don't know if we got an upgrade. I feel like we did, but they didn't say anything. So that was amazing. We just sat there for like 45 minutes just staring at the giraffes.
Let me ask, I didn't mention this real quick though, off the top of the show. Like, when were you guys there so we can kind of have perspective when the trip happened?
Yeah, definitely. It was like right, when was it? It was like the end of October going into the first part of November.
Okay.
So it was like, yeah, that 10-day period kind of in there a little bit. And we thought it was going to be really like nice weather. Being from Seattle, it doesn't get hot here. So, but apparently it was unusually hot. So we thought we were just being wimps for the first like 5 days until somebody told us it wasn't normal.
Yeah, I mean, I always go down in the summer and it's always hot here. It's always hot there. So I punish myself every day. I don't know why. So now I get, but that has to be rough though, being from the West Coast. And yeah, you mentioned it's always good to get those little upgrades, you know, because I think that Disney's smart. If they haven't, you know, Savannah View rooms available, they should put people in them because you come on shows, you talk about it. Don't get it all the time, but it sure makes the trip better. Now, you were there right when the Skyliner opened too, because it was only open for about a month when you were there. So that was the new hot. Yeah. I mean, still the new hotness, but it really was then. Now, you also stayed at the Swan. So people ask about this a lot, you know, because it's got prime location. I stayed at the Dolphin one time for a media event. I'm a huge Disney pure. Like, I love the whimsy of Pop Century. I just love the Disney of it all. But I did really love the location of the Dolphin Swan, obviously sister resort there. So what were your thoughts there?
So it was a very nice resort. They had all this construction going on, which I knew about. And so being a hotel person, I was like, okay, I can handle this, but it's definitely not the same as staying at a Disney resort. Like you're really getting what you pay for staying in those Disney hotels for sure. But it was still really nice. Like we took the boats a couple times. It was still close enough to everything. You still got all the benefits and they do have really good prices, but it definitely wasn't the same. It definitely felt more like a hotel and less like a whole resort experience basically. That's what
I told my wife when I was down there. She's like, well, how is it? You know, because we'd always seen it. It's very cool looking from the outside exterior and everything. And it's nice on the inside too. Don't get me wrong. But she's like, you know, how is it? And I said, yeah, if this wasn't at Walt Disney World, like I would love it. Like I'd love to stay here if this was a great hotel in St. Louis, but it's when I go to Disney, I want to see, you know, the Mickey Mouse telephone outside my room, or, you know, I want to be in the deep South at Riverside or in New Orleans in French Quarter. I want that theming everywhere. And it's a super nice hotel, but that's really what it is. Great location though.
The pool was amazing. The pool was the best part. But it definitely wasn't quite the same.
All right. So we kind of mentioned it was hot. You guys went to the theme parks and you mentioned that Animal Kingdom was by far your favorite park. Now I can kind of say, Nate, let me just make a hypothesis here. It's because you have some background with Disneyland. So you have something similar in the Magic Kingdom. So maybe the familiarity made the Magic Kingdom not so unique. And I think Animal Kingdom and Epcot are super unique. So what was it about Animal Kingdom that stood out for you guys?
There was just like everywhere you look was like eye candy. You're just like, oh my gosh, look at that tree. Oh my gosh, the plant. Look, there's a bird. Like there was so much to look at. And we felt like just the experiences we had on the rides were so different than the other parks. And like, especially at the whole Pandora section, not that that's a surprise to anybody, but it was just, it was not like any place we'd ever been. And like, we probably went on the safari ride like 8 times and it was just like different every single time, which is not something you can get anywhere else. And like, we found the best snacks were there also, which is helpful.
And the best counter service. They have way the best counter service dining.
Yeah, absolutely. It was awesome.
Now, earlier in the email, you mentioned that it's a good thing you're a ninja at vacation planning. Let me ask you this though, because you're coming, I always wonder this, especially in the, 2020, 2019, in the age of social media where everything's out there instantly. Did you guys try to stay spoiler free on stuff like Flight of Passage or anything that was, kind of a big thing to go out there that's super unique, just a world? Or did you know what was coming?
Well, I mean, I kind of knew a little bit more than my husband did just because I listened to your guys' podcast and a couple of other Disney podcasts like going into this. But as far as like, we're not watching like ride walkthroughs, because that definitely does ruin it. Mm-hmm. But like, for example, like on Everest, we weren't going to go on that because like we were scared but I knew it went backwards, but then we kept walking by it. And then finally my husband was like, well, let's just try it. Let's just do it. There's little kids in line. So we did. And I was way more scared than he was. And I was like screaming and his little kids were like laughing at me. So it was, we tried to not spoil as much as possible, but of course we watched like different like people, like the Disney food blog and stuff on YouTube and your guys' podcast. But definitely as far as details, we tried to stay away from it to make it more of an experience.
That's what I do. It's so hard nowadays though, because everything is up on social media, like all that just hits you like, oh my, because I was trying to stay away from Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway over the past few months. And it's like, oh my gosh, stop.
We didn't know anything about those cartoons. This is so stupid, but they would play them on the hotel TVs. And we were like, these are incredible. And so now my husband can't wait to go on that ride because we just love those cartoons so much.
It's so fun. Oh, also shout out to Ed, who's in Seattle watching us live on Facebook right now. So he's one of my good buddies up there. Yeah. There you go. So there you go. Okay. So now you said you have a hot take here, I'll say, but you kind of explain your thinking. And I think that a lot of people say this. My buddy Scott says the exact same thing. So give us that comparison, what you say with Magic Kingdom and Disneyland.
It was so hard to put it in perspective. But as a whole, we think that like Disney World, with all the other parks and the water parks and the mini golf and everything, it's far superior just because it has more to offer. But there was something about Magic Kingdom compared to Disneyland in California. Like, it just didn't feel the same. And it's bigger and there's more attractions. But like the attractions we went on, like Space Mountain, for example, is a common one I'm sure people talk about. It's not the same. It's not as good. Like, I'm sorry, everyone in Florida, but it's not as good. Because like in the one in California, you can sit next to each other. And like, we just felt like that particular part wasn't as good. I don't know.
I mean, it's exactly what my buddy Scott says. He says, gotta get to Disneyland. It is incredible. It's better than Magic Kingdom. But as a whole, he says he likes his vacation at World just because of the options. I mean, so many resorts, different theme parks. You know, Disney Springs is incredible. You know, you can play golf. You made a bullet point on your notes, which cracks me up. I mean, I've been doing this show for almost 13 years. Mini golf has never gotten love from any pre-trip notes for a show.
It's so much fun.
I was like,
we basically went all out. We did like the Park Hopper Plus, which included the mini golf, and like we're just like big kids, I guess. We just let like so we were staying at the Swan, so it was right there, and we went and did that like several times, and the people probably thought we were crazy. We're like, we're gonna go again, just because every day we went back to the hotel in the middle of the day for a couple hours. So that was how we filled our time sometimes.
And you know what? The thing too is, if a lot of people don't realize this, but if you book a package that includes room and tickets, you get free rounds of mini golf before 4:00 p.m. It's what's called a magical extra, which nobody I think ever pays attention to. But you can go over to Fantasia Gardens, which you're talking about, or you can go over to Blizzard Beach and play Winter Summerland, which there's two courses there. There's a summer side and a winter side. They're all. Did you guys do that too? You guys were on the circuit.
Like, well, I know the water park's closed, but we have to go check it out. Tried to do as much as possible but not being crazy. We just tried to do a variety of things because being from the West Coast, we're not going to get back over there, as often as other people. So We tried to experience it all.
I love this. It's awesome. Now, did you get the chance? Did you play the, because I've never, this is the one thing I haven't done. There's very few things I have left, but I haven't played the mini golf course that's like modeled after the real holes. Did you play that one?
We did. It was crazy. Oh,
that looks too hard.
So crazy. And like, I was like, this is really difficult. I feel like I'm not good at mini golf, but it was crazy. It was definitely an experience. Like, it was a little frustrating in parts. And then if your ball falls in the water, I'm like, oh, I don't want to grab it. What if there's something in there? So
get it at your own risk. Yeah, I'm intrigued by the course, but I've never played that. I've played both, you know, all the Fantasia Gardens, all the Winter Summerland, but not that one. So that's awesome.
There's all really serious people on it too. Like, there was like these this older couple there, and they were like, "You guys are so new. Like, hurry up."
May we play through? That is too. They take the little head off their head cover off their putter. You know, you're in trouble. Okay, so you mentioned you guys went back to the pool to kind of combat the heat. You also, in your notes, mentioned that you guys took some time to go to Typhoon Lagoon twice. Yeah. So right now, as we're recording, we're in a time where the water parks are closed, unfortunately, because of the situation. But I love Typhoon Lagoon. It's a great place to go. It's my favorite of the two water parks. What were your thoughts?
Well, I mean, we were hoping to go to both, but of course the timing didn't work out with when we went. So the other one was closed, but that was one of my husband's like mandatory things. He's like, I need to go to a water park. I haven't been to a water park since I was a kid. And it was really fun. And we didn't go all day. We only went for a couple hours, but it wasn't very crowded because it's October, but it was really hot. So it worked out really well. And it rained at one of the points we were there, and just like being in the wave pool was insane. And like, it was just really a nice break from the craziness of the parks.
Do you guys do any of the, well, there's not really things super crazy at Typhoon Lagoon. I mean, I think they feature
the blaster thing, like, yeah, the three slides or whatever. We did those a lot. We didn't do any of, like, I don't remember what it's called, but there's one that's like the super big drop. We that's not our thing. too scary.
The old crushing gusher. That's what Typhoon Lagoon has. It's kind of like the aqueduct on the ships, but it's bigger, obviously. That's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Also, shout out to Marion, who's tuned in live from Seattle. Yeah. Apparently, we have all of Seattle tuned in today. This is awesome as we record. Okay, so, but, you know, you mentioned that it was like hot because of a tropical system that was out there, made it, you know, unusually hot for Florida that time of year in October. But you kind of did the right thing. You guys had time. And I always tell people, if you have the luxury of time at Walt Disney World and you're there anytime where it's hot, you got to take the midday break. And you guys took advantage of water parks, pools. I mean, you'd cooled off. And I'd imagine that when you went back in the evenings, which again, this was back in the time where you had evenings and, you know, longer park hours, that you're, because this is what we do too. You go back, you swim, you change clothes, you clean up again, and you're like so refreshed for the evening. It's almost like a second day, you know, a second experience.
It really is. And like, I took all the advice from all the podcasts and like your guys' podcasts. And my husband was like, we need to be able to like, at least be a little bit relaxed. And I was like, okay, cause I'm one to just be like, I want to do everything. And so I had things planned out like for the entire day, but we ended up canceling a lot of stuff just because of how we felt. So it was definitely very beneficial to take it a little slower and to like, we still got to do all the stuff we wanted to do, but that midday break was like, that was key. Even if it wasn't as hot, that was just to get away from people. That was key.
Absolutely. I totally agree. All right. So let's hop into dining here for a little bit. And one of the things you mentioned in the notes too, was that the heat kind of changed what you were expecting to do once you got there, because if you go to, and I've had the same thing happen to me. Well, I eat a lot. I like to eat. My buddy Scott and I both like, that's why we're such good friends. We're always eating. But the thing is, you know, if you're out there and it's 95 degrees with 85% humidity, it you know, you're just not ready to eat like meatloaf and turkey and all that heavy stuff. So sometimes it changes up how you want to eat. And you guys kind of, you know, switch things up on the fly, snacking more, you know, having counter service meals, stuff like that. So talk to us about that. How'd that work?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely like we had storybook dining, we had Ohana, we had all these reservations at all these amazing restaurants, and then like a couple days before the day of, we were like, I'm not really feeling like going and getting the meat sweats at Ohana right now, so we didn't do that. But and the Food and Wine Festival was going on, so we ate a lot of tried a lot of those things, and just literally went up and got snacks like at the different stands. Like at Animal Kingdom, I think we had that corn in the Africa section probably four times because it was so good. yeah, it was amazing. And but we did have a couple sit down meals. Like we had, like our first meal was the breakfast at Garden Grill on our first day in the parks, and that was just like amazing to watch my husband hug Chip and Dale. It was incredible. So it was awesome. But yeah, no, and definitely I think our favorite thing that we ate besides the corn was the pineapple lumpia in Pandora. It was so good. We both loved that a lot.
Sounds so good. Yes, and the corn in Africa. Yes.
Even just a pretzel, like getting a pretzel with cheese. Although we will say the pretzel with cheese we got in Magic Kingdom that had the like from the pump cheese is better than the prepackaged cheese. There was a difference. So we were like, this is terrible.
No, that's what we do. That's what Disney fans do. We know where the best cheese is. No, that's you know, you also bring up a great point that I think a lot of us back home, we think you got to have like 3 squares a day. You know, you got to get in that where I got to have breakfast, got to have lunch, got to have dinner, maybe like one snack, you know, throughout the day. But at Walt Disney World, you can totally survive with like 17 snacks and no square meals. That's just how it is.
I mean, there's so many options, especially with the Food and Wine Festival. Like it was... there was too much to choose from. It was incredible.
So do you remember, like, I know it's been a year, but was there any like certain countries or booths that you really enjoyed?
So we love the Mexico booth because the margaritas were delicious. And the one guy, we went there the one day and then we went back, like it was like 2 or 3 days later. And he's like, oh yeah, I remember you guys. You're on your honeymoon here. Have a free tostada. We were like, sweet. So that was incredible. We loved that. And we loved I think it was the Norway booth. We loved that. But maybe it was just the bakery that we loved. It was incredible. But, and then we went to the Leal's bakery in France a lot because the frosés and their pastries are amazing. So that was one of my husband's favorites and it was delicious.
That stuff looks too good to eat when you go in there.
You just go in there and you're like drooling and you're like, what am I going to get? Can I get like 10 things? Oh, that'll be $500.
I get breakfast there a lot. I'll get like a you know, breakfast sandwich, something hot. But I always have to tell myself, if I go in there, I have to have a breakfast dessert. Because I got to have like an eclair or something. You know, it's like, it's so good.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Love that place. Now, one thing I didn't ask when we were talking about theme parks, I really want to get your perspective. So you mentioned Animal Kingdom, why that was special. Coming to Walt Disney World from a Disneyland background, what'd you think of Epcot? I mean, did it meet your expectations? I know it was a mess back then, right? Even a year ago, they had the construction all going on.
Oh yeah, there was all kinds of construction. Yeah. Like we would be like, okay, we need to get over here. Be like, oh, we can't go that way. Okay, we need to go back. But it was so big. That was like the big, I knew it was going to be big, but that was the biggest surprise. I'm definitely looking forward to what it'll look like in the future, but just all of the countries were just so detailed and we didn't even go into all the ones that like I had planned, but yeah, I mean, I think it'll be really good once they get a few more rides. But we really liked it. We went on everything they had there. Like my husband enjoyed Frozen probably more than I did. He's like, can we go on that again? And I was like, oh, we don't have a fast pass, but I'll try to get one for tomorrow.
That's awesome.
We had a great time and it's just a lot of fun. It's very different than any other park. So yeah, I thought it was great. We loved it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I always wonder because it's so unique, you know, it is definitely something that you can't really get anywhere else. I love it. Now, another thing that you mentioned in the notes that kind of caught you by surprise was that you really enjoyed Galaxy's Edge, which you said, you know, most people come on, they're like, oh, I love Galaxy's Edge, man. Star Wars has been my life since I was 4. That's my story. You know, it came out when I was 4 and I've grown up with it, but you guys appreciate it. You're not particularly huge Star Wars fans.
I mean, like we go see the movies, like just, you know, even though we still haven't seen the most recent one, don't hate us. But we were kind of like, okay, whatever. And we'd heard some like mixed reviews about it. We're like, oh, we'll go check it out and we'll ride the Millennium Falcon. And the Rise of Resistance wasn't open yet when we went. But then we got in there and we were just like, whoa, this is so immersive. And we went on the Millennium Falcon and we had to be the engineers at first, which was still like, I was like, if this is the worst spot and this is incredible, like this is amazing. And then we ended up going back, I think it was later that day or the next day, and we got to be the pilots. And I was like, oh my God, this is so much fun. And then the last time we went on it, we were the gunners. And I was like getting so mad at the people who were driving. I'm like, oh my God, push the button. And it was, so it was like really fun. And we ended up going into the cantina, even though we weren't planning on it. We just like walked up. We're like, is there space for us? And that was one of our favorite parts, actually. Like, there were so many people, and it was great. We loved it.
Yeah, I think outside, just my hot take for the day, I think outside of Rise of the Resistance, which is incredible, which you have to come back and do it eventually, Oga's Cantina is the best part of Galaxy's Edge. It's better than Smuggler's Run. It's just, like, when I was in there, and I went in, like, because it was one of those things, I wasn't planning on going either. I was down there when the Skyliner opened and Galaxy's Edge had just opened. And they were like, well, come on in. You don't have to have, because this was like when you really had to like wait forever to get it. Well, there happened to be nobody in line. Like, you want to go in? I'm like, yeah, I want to go in. You know, let's roll. So I guess like, dude, it's like 10:45 in the morning. I'm going to get an alcoholic drink. I'm like, my parents are going to kill me, even though I'm 47.
When we went in there, and I was like, well, I guess I'll have a beverage, because we were there and they had like the extra, however many extra magic hours they had. Yeah. And so we hadn't even had breakfast yet. We were like, well, let's go have a beverage and check it out. And so that was awesome. It was great.
Yeah, but the whole time I'm in there, I'm just like, this. And the thing is, if they made it bigger, it wouldn't be as cool. You know, it is. It's really awesome because it is so small and so intimate. And you got little DJ Rex over there with his arm going, you know, play. I swore I was like in a Star Wars movie more than anything, even than being in the land itself, like being in there. It was crazy. Like, I loved it. And I'm not a, you know, I'm not really a bar guy, but God, that was so much fun. I can't wait to get back. But the drinks are super expensive, so be ready.
They are, yes.
You're paying for the atmosphere.
And I was like, wait, no, let's not.
That's it. And you make friends with everybody because, like, I'm not going to order that drink, but can I just video it because it's smoking so I can put it on Instagram?
That's super. Yeah, like the lady next to us was like, what is that? And I was like, my face is numb. That's all I know.
That's so true. All right, another thing you mentioned is that, and this was back over to Animal Kingdom, that you said your husband's not really a character guy, but he really had a great interaction with Launchpad McQuack. I can never say that right. I did as well in 2019, and I don't even know who this guy is. I just know he's an aviator. I never watched DuckTales. So tell us about that.
Well, so we're like super into DuckTales. And so I had like bought us shirts for each day we were going in each park. And my husband had on his like DuckTales Launchpad McQuack shirt. And we were just walking. I think it was over like in the dinosaur area. And he like came out of a back area and he saw my husband's shirt and he like stopped and pointed at him. And my husband like got like pointed at him and then they went and had a big hug. And I was the idiot who didn't take my camera out to take a picture because I was just enjoying the moment. And I was like, oh my God, it's so cute. And like, he was like, his whole face was lit up. And like, it was just, it was like watching a little kid. It was amazing. I loved it.
I love that. You know, and you don't have to. The thing is, I in the Disney community, and this is not true of everybody, but I think it's like, I think a lot of people think you have to be all in on some aspect of Disney fandom. You know, like, I am a character person. Like, I know I follow Heather on Instagram and Twitter. I've met her at some social media events, and, you know, she's the character expert. She's got an outfit that matches, you know, every outfit that Minnie Mouse wears, or, you know, Donald Duck or Goofy. I mean, she is the expert when it comes to meeting the characters. You know, I can take him or leave him. If I see Buzz Lightyear, I'll get a selfie with him or go up and meet him because he's my favorite. But what I like is that when there's something that has a connection to you, I like Buzz Lightyear because I'm a space guy, you know, like, and he's the space Disney character. I don't have to like them all. And I do like them all, but I'm not waiting in line to meet most of them unless it's Mickey or something with some medals from a race. But I love that. You know, you guys have that connection with DuckTales, and there you go. You get that, because, you know, it's not a character you find every day either around Walt Disney World. You can't just go have a meal and meet him. So that's awesome.
Yeah, no, it was not expected and not planned in any way. So I think that's part of what made it kind of feel special, was that it was not planned and it was just so, and he wasn't expecting it either. So it was made him really happy too.
Now back over at Animal Kingdom too, staying there, we're talking about this. You mentioned that one of the secrets that you thought from the trip is Nomad Lounge right outside of Pandora, right there in Pandora at Animal Kingdom Live. So tell us about that.
So I was like, well, I got it from, because like, one of the like blogs that I read was like, you have to go here, you have to go here. And I was like, okay. I was like, David, we are going to this bar. Like, I have to go in. We walked in and it was crazy outside. And there was maybe two other people in there. And I was like, what is happening? Where are we? And it was just so calming and relaxing. So we sat at one of like the sofas by the window and like, we just ordered drinks and some appetizers and it was delicious and amazing. And it didn't seem like it was too expensive, but it was just, like, the atmosphere was like, oh, we can like take a breath in here, mm-hmm. just away. And it was quiet. And we went back there, I think, three times. And the one night we tried to go in there because there was a rainstorm in Animal Kingdom and there was too many people in there. We're like, okay, no, let's just get out of here. So, yeah.
I will say, though, I've been there a couple times, and both times we sat on the outside. There's that covered kind of, it's almost like a covered porch, and it's got like couches and big chair, you know, comfy chairs and stuff. And, you know, we've met there with lots of listeners of the show. You know, maybe there's 20 or 30 of us out there. And it was, like you said, it was during a big thunderstorm. And I'll tell you what, if you want to take a load off, you know, get a drink and really watch a good Florida, because I love like big thunderstorms. I'm just a weather guy. And like, I love that in Florida, as long as I'm not out in the middle of it. We watched a thunderstorm there right from that balcony with drinks and on those comfy couches with friends. It was amazing. So if you see storms, I'm just saying, here's your pro tip for the day. If you see a storm rolling in, go to Nomad Lounge, get that couch on the back and just chill out. Get a drink, get some apps, and you're set. Yeah. I do love it.
That storm was definitely crazy. And we were coming off a flight of passage, and there was like 50 people in front of us, and they were all just standing there at the exit. And we're like, we need to get out of here. We need to get out. And like, they wouldn't move. And finally we had to like squeeze our way through, and people just, the cast members were like, you guys need to leave the ride. People need to get out of here. That was hilarious. But yeah, I was like, well, we're going to get wet is what it is. And that was kind of a fun memory too.
Let me ask you one more thing too, that you have on the notes that I'm curious about, because we don't get to talk about this very much on the show. You guys went to and had sushi over kimonos. So talk to us about that experience, because we don't talk about this much. I don't think we have, but once or twice on the show's history.
Yeah, no, we love sushi, and we figured being in Florida, like, we have access to really good seafood here in Seattle, but being in Florida, it would be something completely different. And I was like, well, I heard that's good, and it's over at the Swan. And we, for the first night we were there, we got in like in the later afternoon, so we weren't planning on going to a park or anything. And I was like, well, we can walk down the boardwalk and check that out. And so we did that, and it was just, it was such a fun atmosphere, and like, the food was just amazing, and the servers were incredible. And so if you are a sushi person, like, it was really, really good. And we had a really good experience there. And just then we walked back, and we had a few sakes in there, and I was like, let's go to Apple Hills. And we went in there and had ice cream, and it was like the perfect first evening. It was incredible. It was amazing.
Oh, you're hurting my heart with the Apple Hills reference.
I know. I read that the other day. And I was like, look.
And I'm a sushi amateur. Like, you know, nobody in my family eats seafood except me. And so obviously sushi is well off the list for anybody in this household, but I have had it. That's what I like Food and Wine for, is that I can get sushi, and it's not, when I go someplace, it's like, we do have a Japanese place that we go to, like a hibachi Japanese place. It's real nice. It's near our house, but like, they have a sushi menu that is super intimidating because it's super long. And I don't know what 90% of the things, I'm in St. Louis, man. We don't have sushi. I'm in Missouri. But the thing is, like, I know if I walk up to like the Japan booth during Food and Wine, I can get a little sushi. You know what I'm saying? It's got the green stuff that's super hot. Well, I forgot what that's even called. Help me out. What's that called? The hot stuff.
The wasabi.
That's it. Because I didn't know it was that hot the first time. It smoked me out. But, you know, I enjoy it. But it's not, that's what I love Food and Wine for, is that I can try these things and I don't feel like a total, because I don't even order it at the local place because I don't know what I'm doing. You know, but I just go up and like, I'll take that. You know, there's only three things on the menu.
If you're there and you try it, I mean, if you ask them and be like, I don't know what to order. And that's kind of what we were like. We were like, what should we order? Because I mean, we're pretty knowledgeable, but they gave us some really good suggestions, and they were just had really great service there at the restaurant too.
At our place though, everything's like named after a location. You got like the California roll. You got like, you probably have a Seattle roll. There's probably a Montana roll. There's like some South Dakota roll.
Yeah, there's all of it.
I don't even know what a South Dakota roll would have in it, you know, so I don't order that. So I'm just, that freaks me out. All right, one last thing I want to talk about you guys did, which is a really cool thing. I've done this a couple times, fireworks party, dessert party. So what were your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, my poor husband was feeling very hot. And so he was a trooper, because I knew he was not feeling well. Like, he was just like, I'm so hot. Like, it was one of the hottest days we were there, but he knew that this was really important to me. I was like, I have to see the fireworks. I have to see the whole thing. And so dessert party, like, the desserts were pretty good. Like, they weren't like mind blowing, but they were, you know, they were good. But the best was just not having to worry about waiting in line. Like, that alone was worth the money to me. But we sat there, and we were kind of like at the back of the roped off area. And there wasn't really anybody in front of us, which was nice, but it was just like, I got a little emotional during the show because it had brought back some of those childhood memories. And then I look over at my husband, he's like, oh, I don't feel good. Like, but he's trying to put on a brave face for me. And, but I like, it was amazing. I thought it was magical. Like, I was great.
Can you imagine how emotional people are going to be when they bring back the fireworks and we haven't had them for this long?
I bet. I mean, it's a very long show. I know that, like, that was the one thing where I was like, oh, this is really long. Like, it's, and you don't, like, people talk about how incredible it is, but just the projections and the timing. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So yeah, so definitely a highlight. Well worth the money at least once. At least, I don't know if we would do it again, but I got to see it once. I'm good.
Especially coming all the way across the country, you know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't something you do every day. It's fine to splurge on things. Like, I think it's super important that you do that because, you know, you can, when you see them with the general public, it's a cool experience. Don't get me wrong. I watch them from Main Street, by the train station, all over the hub. You know, I'm not one to spend extra money, but I have done two dessert parties. Thank you, Pam Forrester, for paying for one for the travel agents. But, you know, it's one of those things like, God, it's so worth it. You know, it really was.
Even aside from that, when we were going back on the Skyliner, we didn't stay for the Epcot fireworks, but we timed it to where we could watch the fireworks going back to Caribbean Beach on the Skyliner. And that was even like just as incredible. I was like, our private car, we were like, wow, this is amazing. And so that was even as like, I highly recommend that if somebody can time that out.
That's like a fireworks cruise, but in the air with your private car. That's a great idea. All right. One last thing. Okay. So as we wrap this up, I want to ask you this. So if you had to, you know, you're heading down to Walt Disney World again, next trip, let's just say, like, what lessons did you learn? What would you change? What would you make sure you did again just to help somebody that maybe is planning a trip here for 2021? Maybe they're coming across country, have a lot of experience with Disneyland, maybe not so much at World. What advice would you give somebody that's kind of in the same boat as you?
I mean, I would definitely say just make sure for like top five, a bonus, but like have a plan. Definitely have, like, the fact that I had researched and had a plan every day, but was flexible to be like, okay, we're not going to do that. What else is close by that we can do? Like being flexible and just not being crazy. And I think for our next trip, just definitely making sure we're able to do some of those restaurant experiences we weren't to do, I think is really important, because I was so excited to go to Storybook Dining, but it just wasn't going to happen. But definitely I think just being flexible is the biggest thing, but having a plan. Like I can't even imagine just showing up like that stresses me out. Like having a plan, just being knowledgeable of what all alternatives are.
And you know what? You show up right now, you don't get in. Because you got to have a plan to get in. That'd be really bad. No, but you know.
Lights, and I'm like, well, maybe we could like squeeze something in. But it's, I don't know.
Well, you make a good point that even though you wanted to do Storybook Dining, which is such a, you know, especially back then, it was like the hot ADR to have. It's still, you know, well, they're not doing it now, but it still will be coming out of this. And I think it's better to not do it than to force it and just say, like, you know, I think sometimes we get kind of in this thing where you got like a checklist of things. And if you don't check, you know, 98% of the things off your list, it's not a successful trip. I'm of the opposite idea. I think you just got to be flexible and enjoy what you can do. And if you don't feel like doing it, don't do it. Do it next time.
It definitely made it way less, like there was zero stress, which is not something I think you hear very often from especially first time people. So I felt like, cause I just wanted to do everything, but I knew that the way that my husband vacations, it would just be better for everybody if we just chill. But we still got to do everything we wanted to do. So
that is awesome. Good. All right. So before we duck out of here, I know you mentioned you guys have kind of a cool website, a fun project you are doing. So where can people check out what you're doing and kind of explain it to us?
Yeah. So Disney Plus had just launched and I was like, hey, would you be interested in starting a podcast where we watch all of these movies and then have a discussion and critique them? So we went through the D23 website and pulled out all of the Disney movies. We pulled out some of the Marvel, we pulled out the Marvel ones, we pulled out the documentaries. So just all the live action, all the animated movies that Disney released in theaters. And we are going through them at random on our podcast, and it's at the Disney Movies with the Hearts. And so far we've done about 37 episodes, 30 or 40 episodes now, I think. And we're having a lot of fun with it, and we would love to get more listeners. And it's been really interesting watching some of these old live action movies. So you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at the Disney Movies with Hearts.
I'll have to check it out. I'll have to check out the movies though, too, because I'm not a big movies guy during sports season, you know, and it's college football starting here, but I will definitely check out the show. it's tough. All right, so I appreciate you coming on the show. It's been so much fun, and next time you guys head down to Walt Disney World, just have let us know and we'll compare the first trip to the second.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate it.
All right, don't forget, today's show has been brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for your next Disney vacation, whether it's to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Adventures by Disney and even Disney Cruise Line. And don't forget that Magic for Less is a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. So drop by their website today, themagicforless.com. Fill out that free, no obligation quote form. And if you mention the Be Our Guest podcast, you and I are going to be working together on the next Disney trip. And I'd love to do that with you. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon, anytime you shop online. And if you want a little more show in your week, become a patron. All of these shows are currently brought to you by our patrons, and I love you guys. I appreciate you so very much. You can also help us out over at patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Also, get in on the 24/7 conversation with other listeners of the show. We now have a 24/7 chat room. It's called a Discord server. It sounds all fancy, but it's really just a big chat room. So just go to beourguestpodcast.com and scroll down on the right-hand side and click join the Discord server. And bam, you'll be there. And I hang out in there every day as I'm working here in the office. And we have lots of great conversations about all things Disney. So drop by there on the Discord server. Give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And give us a follow over on Facebook and YouTube. Just search for the Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, we're going to get out of here until we get back together again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. For Kelly, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome week. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.